Hi, I'm VOA's Christina Menenti with your worldwide news update. The United Nations annual climate conference continues Wednesday with brief speeches by nations big and small. For many of them, it's a chance to bear witness to the misery their countries have endured from climate-driven weather extremes. Colombian Environment Minister Susana Mohamed.
And we have been dealing with fires on the beginning of the year, El Niño, lack of water in many regions, now flooding, one after the other.
Leader after leader recounted climate disasters, each one seeming to top the other. Pakistan's prime minister, recalling the impact of his country's 2022 floods, urged other countries to act.
Pakistan is one of those countries which hardly contribute 0.5% of emissions, global emissions, and yet we are vulnerable and in the list of those 10 countries which can, God forbid, face this kind of devastation again.
The chief aim of the conference is to secure a wide-ranging international climate financing agreement that ensures up to trillions of dollars for climate projects. Developing countries are hoping for big commitments from rich, industrialized nations that are the biggest historical contributors to global warming. A U.S. federal worker has been charged in a classified documents leak about Israel's earlier plans to strike Iran. AP correspondent Julie Walker has more.
The man, identified as Asif William Rahman, was arrested by the FBI this week in Cambodia and was due to make his first court appearance in Guam. He was indicted last week in federal court in Virginia on two counts of willful transmission of national defense information. The documents showed up last month on the Telegram messaging app. They were prepared by the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, which analyzes images and information collected by U.S. spy satellites. I'm Julie Walker.
This is VOA News. President-elect Donald Trump returned to Washington on Wednesday for the first time since winning last week's election to meet fellow Republicans in Congress and President Joe Biden at the White House.
Well, thank you very much. This is a very nice gathering. Isn't it nice to win? It's nice to win.
The meeting is designed to demonstrate a smooth transition between administrations, despite Trump's team not yet having signed documents, including an ethics pledge, to start the handover process. Biden and Trump will likely discuss a myriad of topics, including foreign policy. Republican U.S. Senator John Thune was elected on Wednesday to serve as Senate Majority Leader for the next 2 years under Trump, replacing Mitch McConnell, who will step aside in January. Israel's defense minister said on Wednesday he would not agree to any Lebanon ceasefire that does not ensure a disarmed Hezbollah withdraws north of Lebanon's Litani River or allow the residents of northern Israel to return to their homes. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said on Wednesday that the United States wants real and extended pauses in fighting in Gaza, but the best way forward would be to end the war. Diane Toh from Reuters reports.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Israel has now achieved its goals of dismantling Hamas and killing those responsible for the October 7th attack. On Tuesday, Washington defied humanitarian groups to conclude Israel was not blocking aid as a 30-day U.S. deadline for Israel to address the situation in Gaza expired.
Hunger, starvation.
United Nations officials warned at a Security Council meeting the same day that famine remained imminent. At the meeting, the U.S. stressed that there must be no forcible displacement nor policy of starvation in Gaza by Israel.
Diane Toh for Reuters. Chancellor Olaf Scholz on Wednesday appealed to parties to pass measures, stressing that Germans did not need to choose between security and prosperity.
Even if we have different political ideas, one thing is clear. We live in one country. We are better off if we stick together. If we can still look each other in the eye after a dispute, that applies to politics. It applies to our entire country.
Scholz was addressing parliament and political leaders' first public head-to-head since the collapse of the chancellor's ruling coalition last week forced the country into a snap election that will likely take place in February. The government's collapse hits Germany at a vulnerable time, with Europe's largest economy facing a second year of contraction and anxieties festering over trade tariffs and future support for Ukraine. Voters in Somaliland flocked to the polls on Wednesday to choose a president at a time when the breakaway Somali region sees international recognition within reach after 3 decades of de facto self-rule. Somaliland declared independence from the Mogadishu government in 1991. That wraps up this update, but the world and news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website, voanews.com. I'm Christina Menenti, VOA News.